Hello and welcome to the Unnamed Podcast. This is Alexis Denver and I am coming to you today from Dune Beach off of Dune Road. And it is, I'm sorry, what's the date? The 24th? 24th of May? 28th of May. Chris is holding up four fingers. I'm here with...
Christopher J. Scott.
And...
Evan John Ferrante.
And these two boys and I are here on the beach in the Hamptons because... Do you want to fill in on the details?
This is episode 4.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. It's episode 4. Wow. Shocking. Evan, why are we here?
We're here to do an interview, a very crucial interview for a documentary that Chris and I are working on, tentatively titled Waiting for the Light to Change, about an abusive alcoholic folk singer from the 60s who was at the end of his rope and trying to find some sort of solace in his life and redemption.
The positive externality of that is that we get to chill in the Hamptons. We were supposed to have a table and bottle service last night hooked up by my Van Gogh vodka boy, Jordan Weiss, from Luchter International. But he didn't come through for us, right? Right? Someone dropped the ball.
Yeah, there was no free vodka.
There's no table service.
And the White House is this new club. Whenever there's a new club, it's a big event in the Hamptons. And they're promoting it with Kendra from Playboy's Girl Next Door. Who knows if she was there? It was a massive place. It was interesting. It turned into, what, a character study, do we say? A scientific experiment? Did a lot of observation, a lot of scientific method.
Were there any solid deductions made?
Yeah, we made a lot of deductions. It's almost like a different species we discovered, a species that are only attracted to each other. And we really found it very intriguing, actually.
I think we found...
large asses and no asses. Mm-hmm. And we made a lot of interesting hypotheses based on our observation. Chris is very serious about this. You can just hear him saying... Mm-hmm.
I think we've seen every ass form that can come on human anatomy, and, starting with the teardrop, the apple, and the onion.
Right.
There were some great onions. Truth be told, every man wants a shelf.
I want an armoire.
An armoire, full-on wall unit, because no ass is in bone is it's skeleton-like, and it's just not sexy, and that's the truth.
I would like to Evan to speak about his double head theory.
Yes, of course. I came up with this theory last night. What ended up happening was we were trying to determine what the best ass shape was, and I was thinking the best way to describe the best ass shape would be a girl on all fours, and her head is on one end and her ass is on the other, obviously. And so it's kind of like a little bridge, right? And the head and the ass actually look very similar. They should, you know, they both pop out. As long as the head isn't, you know, bending down, it should be just, you know, straightforward up, and you got a little, you know, obviously people have a round head if you're a normal human being. So if you have a normal round head, then you should have a normal round ass to symmetrically, you know, tie things together. And
if we all saw that documentary, The Science of Beauty, I think that's what it was called, or Science of the Human Face, that was narrated by John Cleese, it's all about symmetry.
You think it's a comfort thing, Chris? Because they're, you know, a good ass should be comfortable and cushion-like. You think it's a comfort thing? You think it's because we want to
feel comfort? Comfort thing, but I think it's really more physical than anything. It's just a lot of fun to have a proper, proper onion. Now, you know when you go to like a supermarket,
yeah, what kind of
and
onion
you're looking
now?
In the onions, Regalia? Big sweet white onions, you know, and some are like really fucked up looking and are just deformed. Then you're like, oh, here's the look at the onion. It's a perfect onion.
I mean, I'm intrigued by onion. Why onion over any other crude vegetable?
Smells good when you saute them. I don't know.
And it makes you cry sometimes.
And it can make you cry. It's sweet and sour.
That's true.
At the same time.
That's true. I go through a lot of a full range of emotions when I pick out my onions, just like when I pick out my asses.
Exactly. That's exactly it.
You know,
apples
in
too.
Retrospect,
apples kind
in
of fall in that
Chris,
world.
I'm sorry for challenging you on the onion because it is the perfect relation. An analogy.
Also, if you know, and back to your position. If you can rest a mug on the shelf in that position,
there are a lot of tests.
That's as like.
No, I'm not getting on all fours.
Let's go find a mug. We can demonstrate.
We can just speak theory here. It's all right.
This is an applied science.
See,
it's
a
but
shelf.
That's just
it's
my,
not
that's,
mug. It's saltwater taffy. But
that's simply my back curving.
No, but
I'm a little I kind of want one of those saltwater taffies right now, please. Let me just break that box open.
Okay, so we're trying to explain here the origins of saltwater taffy.
The Dutch created saltwater taffy, and it was a big trade with the Algonquins.
The Algonquin Indians?
The Algonquin Indians.
What year are we speaking here? I mean, we're talking the 1600s that they created this?
1692.
Well, so this orange one might be the best one yet. It's like a what's that orange popsicle called?
A creamsicle?
Yeah, like a creamsicle. Mm-hmm.
Roger van Dugen was the original accidentally made taffy when he was trying to make fudge. Van Dugen was a goofy guy and, you know, sense of humor, so he used to call him Taffy. He said, this is saltwater. He needed a name. He said Taffy, and the Indians bought it, gave him some land, some cigars, and picture frames. That's the orange. That's saltwater taffy.
Since you just told me that story, that wonderful story, and we've all come to love it, I've enjoyed this taste more than I did before.
Thank you. If you look on the box, there's Dutch people. Yeah. There's apples and oranges.
By the way, I'm going to put a picture of this box on the podcast.
Yeah. There's an Indian.
There was
a cowboy, and cowboys had a lot to do with Indians also.
There's a cowboy killing an Indian here.
That's right. So.
Oh, no, there we go.
Yeah, there's an Indian on it. Right.
They're on the bottom right-hand corner of about 1,000 pictures. So yeah. They've kind of been pushed.
You know, that's the American keeping the
There are 1,000 pictures here, and the most prominent one is a dreidel. Yeah. Is that a dreidel?
No, that's a
buoy.
No,
that's a fishing
buoy. It's a fishing buoy. Even obviously not known as American history. Ice skates, I don't know what it has to do with taffy, but...
So I don't think anyone ever thought people would look at this so closely as we are.
Okay, so I'm going to segue here into another segment. I'm looking at Evan Ferrante, who is sporting a pair of Ray-Bans. Would you like to tell me how you got those Ray-Bans?
Okay. How many people is this going out to, Alexis?
My mother.
Hi, Mama. But anyway, I'm wearing these gorgeous red Ray-Bans. Actually, I do this Tom Cruise impression. I was blessed with Tom Cruise's vocal cords when I was born. I don't do any other impression on Earth other than Tom Cruise. And yesterday, or 2 days ago, I actually was hired to do a corporate event. It was Ruffino Wines, one of the largest Chianti suppliers in the world, I think. And I did a Letterman show, and I was the new spokesman for Ruffino Wines, Tom Cruise. And I did it in front of hundreds of salespeople. And one of the prizes I got was this pair of Ray-Bans that I wore as a part of my outfit and wardrobe. And it made my day.
Is it the MTV Music Movie Awards?
Right. I believe they're coming to a decision Tuesday. So there's a couple more days to vote. Basically, I did a short that was a movie spoof of Saw and Scientology.
And where can people see this video? And what's the voting aspect of it?
Oh, I'm sorry, I forgot to mention that. I really am doing an awful job of plugging this. basically, you can. I think they've actually taken down the main link for MTV Movie Awards, but it's on the site. I think you might be able to find it under Movie Spoofs. But if you look up Sawntology, you Google it, Saw-Entology, you'll be able to find a link to it and vote 5 stars, okay, hopefully.
And if it...
Oh, if it wins, if it gets elected, I get to go to the MTV Movie Awards. So please, please vote for me.
Fantastic. You heard it from Evan himself. All right, boys, what else should we talk about?
And this taffy is tasty.
Can we just talk about this for a second? We didn't talk about brunch, and we didn't talk about Sen last night and the little table that we were given.
Before we get to the bitching, I want to talk about the fabulous oysters and clam bake.
Mm-hmm. No, Alexis, you talk about that.
Yeah. I'll just say that before we went... Okay, so we went to this place called Sen.
Got a beeper.
Oh, yes, and we got a beeper, and we had 40-minute wait, and we were starving. So we went to... What was it called?
I think it's called the dock shop or the dock something.
The dock shop. We got some oysters on the half shell and some baked clams that were just...
Right, I concur.
The best I've had in a long time.
I concur, and we wrapped it up. Immediately when we left the dock stop, our beeper went off. You know, it was perfect timing, and we were like, this is going to be a great night. We almost did a high five in the middle of the street. So
we did do a high five in the middle of the street. I remember
that. So anyway, it started vibrating. I had 5 minutes as instructed. We did a fist pump or whatever. So basically, I get to the hostess, and I'm like, you know, we're here. And she's like, okay, we'll seat you right now. Come on. very nice, and she brings us to our table. It was a tiny, tiny little table, you know, really built for two, right, guys? I want some support here.
That was one and a half, right?
Right.
Small.
So it was as if I was entering into a romantic dinner between Alexis and Chris, and I was just saddling up for a drink, you know, so just pulling my chair around and saying, "Hey guys, how you doing?" And what they were really trying to do is they're a very popular place in the Hamptons. It's called Sen in Sag Harbor. And they were just trying to make as much money as possible and not give up that extra table. And I was offended because, you know, that the three-person, two-table rule is really built for a toddler. And I may be small and only 5'5", but I'm not a toddler. Okay? And now what really got me is that I went to the front, the hostess, and I said to her, "Hey, there's a real problem with this. You know, there's a real problem with the way I'm being treated here. This is a two-person table, and I'm under three people. I am not a toddler."
He's a short guy, so he can hang on the side.
I mean, it's true. It's true that my legs don't hit the ground when I sit on the chair, and they swing. But I'm not a toddler, okay? So she actually had the nerve to say to me, in front of my face, she was like, "You know, this is common. You know, we have a lot of three people sitting at two people tables, you know, here." And I couldn't believe she would tell me that, as if this is a normal thing going on in America today. Let's move on to brunch. Can we move on to brunch? Because I think that's a more pressing topic since it occurred not too long ago. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we pull up in Southampton, a very posh area, and we go to a place called 75 Main. I want to tell everyone the name because it might have the worst service on earth, and at least in recent memory. You know, it all comes down to bread, or the lack thereof, right? Right, you shouldn't have to ask for bread. That's the first point that Chris brought up. You shouldn't have to ask for it four times with four different people.
It's very communist
to not bring bread in a restaurant. Right. And let me elaborate on that.
Yeah.
When the wall fell in 1990, there was something called bread lines that swept throughout all of communist Russia. And if you put that in context of being in brunch in the Hamptons, yeah, you see where I'm going here?
Well, Chris, you know, I really can't get enough of your historical commentary, but I have to tell you this, that it wasn't just the bread, my friend. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was another...
It was a whole other level.
It was a whole other level. Actually. I mean, they forgot the hash browns, Chris. Let's just be honest. We ordered them jointly. We were going to share them. It was going to be lovely.
How socialist that is, because there's something called the potato famine in Ireland. And it's the same thing. It's socialist. So not only we're dealing with communism today, we're dealing with socialism at the same time in a free country in the Hamptons.
I mean, I think of what Bush says every day, you know. We serve and protect in this country and we fight for our freedom, and I don't see it here. I see only communism and bread lines. I mean, I was sad when I left 75 Main.
I ordered something called a soft omelet, which means it's supposed to be soft inside. Our waiter, who was Antonio Banderas' stunt double, really maybe didn't understand what I was saying. They came back actually as a hard omelet. It was very hard and overcooked. It was supposed to have Swiss and it had cheddar in it. I was looking forward to the nice, soft, subtle
we didn't even talk about
taste
that.
Of the holy cheese from Switzerland, and it didn't.
They really screwed up. I mean, I ordered Jarlsberg. I don't know what the hell I got.
I mean, I'd like to talk about this really quick.
It looks like a little petrifying
toenail from a caveman, or one of those seeds.
It's got some interesting
markings,
that
you eat.
Chris.
I can't remember. Yes, this is an Eskimo toy of a. See the markings? Eskimo toy of a whale, baby toy though, so
what?
Small. Or it's just a turd. So
I wish our audience could see what you're describing.
I'll photograph it.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait, the real question today, by the way, since we just flipped over and I saw the water coming to our feet, are we going in the water today? Are we making the plunge?
We are making the plunge.
I'm just gonna mention that there's a sign at the head of the beach that says what the air temperature is and what the water temperature is. Air temperature right now, I think it read at 74 degrees. And the water temperature is 52. Oh. So whoever's going in is a crazy motherfucker.
We're all going in together.
Because, you know, I said to myself while in the car today, I was like, am I a man? Do I have a male appendage? Or do I have a female appendage? It turns out, I looked, I have a male appendage. I'm going in.
What? We're in a little waiting.
Oh my God, it is so cold. All right, gentlemen, how do you feel right now, Chris?
I can't feel my ankles.
Make it over to the other side of the waiting pool and I will record you as you jump in. Yeah! All right, they did it. They're in the water. They're crazy. They've lost their minds. All right, so Evan just stepped out of the water. Could you tell me about your experience diving into the 52-degree water?
Well, as Clay Aiken put it, this is the true measure of a man here. And Chris Scott is actually going in for another dip. I admire him. He's my hero. He's more of a man than I am. But I'll tell you this. It was exhilarating. It was almost transcendent, the way we felt. My legs are frozen, but they're feeling good right now. It's almost like I'm tripping right now on Dune Beach. I'm gonna go back in though, and I'm gonna try to get Alexis, our podcaster, to join us, so she can experience this truly special experience. You know, we don't do this all the time, and we only live once. We said that on the way up, and it really feels good.
It's gonna take a lot of convincing.